Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 193 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am, as always...
Hold on, wait. 194.
Oh, crap. 194 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emelson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we finally have Monk Hero Talents.
I'm sorry. We have better than Monk Hero Talents, by the way. I don't even care about the talents.
We got two Monk Hero Talents?
I don't care about the talents. We'll talk about it, but there's news that's bigger than the talents. It's
okay. Massive. Is this the postal I saw at the bottom of the notes?
Yes. Yes. I'm so excited. Oh, God.
All right. We're going to get to that. I guess actually, like, I'm going to throw this out here now. There's a lot about the hero talents. Like, we are reading them and evaluating them in the context of the current talent trees and the current abilities, the current tuning. And so there's a lot of things that can change between now and next expansion in regards to all of those things, right? We could see major or minor talent reworks. We could see significant tuning adjustments, which it sounds like you're hinting at for Mistweaver.
Yes, 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 yes.
That will change or recontextualize the hero talents in pretty significant ways. But we are going to mostly be talking about the hero talent trees today. Before we get into that, how is your reclear, Adam?
So we didn't fold reclear. We had extended fire act, basically, just to get our kill. It went awful.
Oh, no. Full week on it?
We spent 2 hours on Tuesday wiping to it, and then our DH, only DH that was in, lost power.
Oh, no.
So we basically, quit then. But it was not... We were not having fun wipes. We're not having, deep P3 wipes with, minor issues.
It's
we were
like
having
the P1 wipes.
Yes, we're having P1 wipes. We were having first intermission wipes, so... Was not fun. Came back Thursday, and I think I'd have to look at our actual polls. I think we killed it sub 10 polls on Thursday. Yeah. So Thursday's raid was actually pretty quick, but yeah, that Tuesday was not fun.
Yeah. So, our reclear was similarly messy. We were planning to skip. To get back onto we hadn't been pulling Tendril and Phyrex the past 2 weeks. We have just been doing the first seven. We were planning to skip to Smolderon, do that, start working on Tendril again. And then, one of our healers is rerolling to DPS. So they've already more or less rerolled, but they were going to be out this week. So it was kind of whatever. Then that leaves us with four healers.
Nice.
And one of our healers got sick and couldn't play.
Oh, no. Okay.
So we had somebody off-spec heal, but that person had zero pulls on Tendril, period.
Okay.
Because they had been out of the country for all of Tendril Prague.
Oh, my gosh.
So we just didn't pull Tendril. We cleared the first seven in under 2 hours and then just were like, we're not going to do the thing again, which we did on Tendril Prague and regretted, of pulling Tendril with a shit comp.
Yeah.
Not
your main people. Yeah. No.
So we're just pulling it tonight. We have people back. We have two paladins now, two rep paladins.
There we go.
So that should help a lot with our freedom issues. So we're going to be pulling Tendril tonight, and we'll see how that goes.
That's awesome. Yeah, this week coming up for us will be interesting too, because it'll be our, we're all officially swapped to DPS, I think, for every boss. So
exciting.
We'll see how the healing crew does with that swap. But yeah.
Are you qualified to talk about Mistweaver talents anymore now that you're a BM main? Nobody mentioned that I've played Blood DK more than I've played Brewmaster this expansion.
Yeah, no, I think I'm okay. It's recent enough. I haven't been away from the class for that long, so I feel like I can at least give my now alt basically opinion of it, right?
Yeah.
From the perspective of playing Mistweavers and alt. So no, it'll be fun. It'll be good. But yeah, I'm excited for this week, so raid wise. But I just hope we get a full clear in. I don't want to do this whole kill seven and then have one have just Phyrex left over.
But yeah, we're gonna kind of speed run through some of the other news items from this week and then really, really dive into Hero Talents. Kicking things off, I didn't realize this. It feels like Hearthstone is like been around forever, but apparently this is only the 10th anniversary.
Yeah, it's wild because I remember. Yeah, so it's the 10-year anniversary of Hearthstone. So there's a bunch of in-game events going on. You get a cool mount just for logging into Hearthstone at some point. And then there's a event that occurs now every 30 minutes in Valdrakken, Stormwind, or Orgrimmar that you can then get like a bag and a mount and some other toy stuff from killing the boss from that event. But yeah, Hearthstone's been out for 10 years, which is wild because I remember... So Hearthstone, fun fact about Hearthstone, Hearthstone is the last new game that Blizzard did like beta or alpha keys for, meaning like that gave out actual keys because of the time,
and not just like flagging your account.
Last time they gave out like keys for like either like, you know, influencer or like streamers or like media people to give out, or just in general did like key giveaways because I remember a buddy of mine bought a Hearthstone beta key for like $40 off eBay.
Oh my god.
Just so you know,
did it like, actually work?
It did, thankfully. Okay. But like, I at the time, there was definitely like people were like streaming like Hearthstone beta key, like, you know, in an hour or whatever. And like,
yeah,
the keys never transpired, like never came about. So,
yeah,
that's a little fun Hearthstone fact back then. But yeah, 10 years old. It seems like, to be fair, I would also agree that I thought it'd be older than that. But
yeah,
geez, 10 years. But yeah, event going on. You get a bag. Actually, that's probably the biggest bag and a mount from the in-game event. So
what size is the bag? I actually just like deleted 30, the quest, so
it's 36, I think. So like, okay, whatever, what's the max now? It's two more than whatever the max is.
Yeah, it's like a couple free bag slots. So that's you know, worth paying attention to at least. I'm not gonna lie, I got the quest and immediately deleted it. Like I've been so all right. The Warcraft Rumble thing being just like giving you back the quest like every time you logged in desensitized me to these events.
That's fair,
because I just never did the Rumble quest, so like every time I logged on to any character I just got the quest again.
It's always like abandon.
Yeah,
that's awesome. But yeah, events going on. I don't know actually when it ends, but going on for I think another week or two. So get in there and try and get that mount in the bag and stuff. Other sort of quick news is another Mythic Plus exploit looks to be happening. I don't know if they've hotfixed this yet, but earlier this week, there was some suspect people completing extremely high keys, with killing bosses, I think in like 10 or 11 seconds, but then having something like 30 or 40 deaths so that their timer didn't look as suspect.
In their Wakecrest banner, they had to pad their timer with 117 deaths.
Yeah,
and if you have the Raider.io like premium account, like subscription, Patreon, whatever you want to call that, somebody in this key had the Raider.io client running during it, so you can see important things that happened, like the timers for boss kills, and how long it took them to kill the bosses, which is where some of this information comes from. And you can see the paladin and the priest in this particular one just like chain dying and releasing and dying and releasing 100 times at the end of the log.
Yeah.
In order to pad out the timer. So yeah, the suspected method for exploiting these is the use of Torghast powers. So there's been a number of bugs over the years, actually like literally since the release of Torghast, where you've been able to take Torghast powers out of Torghast and use them in other content where they are obviously just hilariously overpowered.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like the classic case is like warlocks getting the powers that buff their pets, desummoning their pet, and then going and summoning it in a raid, and it's like doing 10,000% damage, right? That kind of thing. So one of the characters that was involved in this, because they, again, they all had BNet privacy mode on, except that they missed a guy. And so this guy got all the Torghast powers the same day that these suspicious keys popped up. So very high likelihood that they are abusing some kind of Torghast power shenanigans to steamroll 30s.
Yeah.
Like when you have to literally die 100 times in order to pad out the timer to not seem suspicious, something's up.
Something's going on. Yeah. So hopefully Blizzard sort of captures that, gets those guys at least banned, or at least gives them a little bit of a timeout, and we sort of, you know, scrub their keys from the leaderboard. So but yeah, that was a fun little thing that people were investigating, I guess at the start of the weekend here. The other big news we got right at the end of the day, so on Thursday, which is just so funny, people are hilarious. This is what I mean about, we talked about this exact thing last week, by the way. I'm also what I'm about to say. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of backstory real quick. Blizzard, of course, every week puts out there, this week in what, Warcraft, right? Which details out what's coming out on like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in terms of news or like events or whatever it ends up being. So on Monday when they released that, basically, I think it was Thursday, they had development updates. Or Wednesday was development updates, and Thursday was Hero Powers.
I'm going to pull up the development update on stream in just a second, just to give people an idea and of so what
like,
we're dealing with.
Everyone's like, oh man, development update going to be great. Day comes, no update by like noon Pacific. Okay, it's a little bit later. No update by 4 p.m. Pacific. Okay, what's going on here? Comes out, I think, at 5:15 Pacific, and it's a literal three sentence paragraph that just says patch 10.2.6 comes out on Tuesday, March 19th. And people lost it. Like they were like, this is it. They could have told us like an hour ago. This would they need like all day to let us know for this. So, but yeah.
The other thing that is in this post is that they say that Dragonflight season 4 will go live, quote, several weeks after the release of the 10.2.6 content update. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that means 10.2.6 coming out on Tuesday. There's been no PTR, no data mining. We don't know what's in it. All we've got is Skull and Crossbones. So, yeah. You know, we'll see what's in this patch when it goes live on Tuesday. Yeah. And then that probably also is where we start to get the first data mining for season 4. Mm-hmm. For season 4 of Shadowlands, there was some data mining around what the affixes were going to be and the mechanism for triggering them and stuff like that. So we're going to hopefully start to get that information next week.
Yeah. We also did in the same vein. So I guess the news here is that 10.2.6 will be live on Tuesday, the 19th, or Wednesday or Thursday, basically next week, depending on region for you. The other thing that did come out as a part of this week was Blizzard did detail out some changes to the Mythic Plus system. Coming in season 4. This was going to be something they said they were going to hold till War Within, but they thought, why not release it in season 4, get some early feedback, see how it goes. Yeah. Essentially what they're doing is they're condensing essentially like the way that Mythic Plus works. So essentially what ends up happening is normal stays normal in terms of difficulty in season 4. However, the changes start with Heroic. So Heroic becomes the new Mythic Zero. So like essentially from a difficulty perspective, if you're doing Mythic Zeros today, in season 4, this will be a mythic. This will be a heroic dungeon for you. And then scaling up from that, mythic zeros become mythic tens in terms of difficulty. And then you start your timed runs at, you know, a +2, which is, I guess, equivalent to a +11 or +12 in the current system. So essentially, they're condensing or sort of, increasing the difficulty across the board with everything. They're also condensing the timed key sort of range from currently today, it's the rewards go from Mythic +2 to Mythic +20. In season 4, it'll be Mythic +2 to Mythic +10. So condensing essentially the reward range from keys. So lots of sweet, kind of like similar to a level squish, they're doing sort of a difficulty squish here. One other thing. Affixes now will be in that time section. So instead of being whatever they are today, it'll be 2, 5, 10. So first affix of 2, of course, Fortified Tyrannical. Next affix at 5, and then final affix at 10.
There's some couple of really interesting things here. So first off, before spending too much time talking about this, I want to mention that back in Legion, if anybody remembers season 1 of Legion, while obviously key levels went beyond 10, the weekly reward that you got capped out from a plus 10 key. So this is in some ways a return to that original scaling of Mythic Plus, where you got to 10. That's where your tyrannical and fortified effects used to kick in. Mm-hmm. And that was also where you got your, like, it wasn't the vault at that time. It was your weekly Mythic Plus box reward capped out at that level. Mm-hmm. And then in, like, I think immediately the next season, they raised it to 15. It was 15 for like most of the rest of Mythic Plus's lifetime.
Yeah.
One of the things I think that is interesting about this is that the new Mythic Zero location is closer in tuning to where the mega dungeons have been than where Mythic Zeros have been for like the past couple of expansions, right? So this is going to be interesting. Like, the no timer thing, I think, will be good. There are people that just don't like the timer. And it also, the fact that there's a timer pressures you into already knowing what to do before you enter the dungeon. Like, if there's a timer, it feels really bad to sit there and read the dungeon journal if you don't know what a boss does and couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, and the problem with that is you scale past heroics so quickly, or even like lower, like Mythic Zero, so quickly that, like, this gives people, I think, more time to actually like learn the dungeons at a difficulty that isn't just like hold W and go forward and you win, right? Like, a little bit more appropriate. So,
and one of the things that they did not bring up in this post, but I think is a potential interesting aspect of this, they don't like putting world content rewards at raid difficulty levels or at dungeon difficulty levels. Like, they try and avoid like overlapping Mythic Plus, like organized group content kind of difficulty levels, by raising the level at which you get Mythic Plus stuff, right? Now there's more room for there to be world content item level rewards. Like, the Mythic Zeros are still a weekly lockout. You can't farm them. So you could do, like, if you're a more casual player, you could do your Mythic Zeros. Those are going to reward much higher eye level stuff. And then there's also room for there to be, you know, world content rewards that are less than Mythic Zero, but much higher than they are now.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. So I think all in all, I'll say it's a solid change. We'll see exactly how it plays out in terms of like the way the loot does and like the way people sort of respond to it. I think it'll be a solid change. And I think it's good that they're testing it here in season four, where there's not a ton on the line. I mean, it's still like, if you do Mythic Plus, there's still a season four title.
Yeah.
And all that fun stuff. But they're not doing it along with releasing a raid and releasing a bunch of brand new content, having to balance it. The other couple things that came out of this post, just real, real quick, is number one, it looks like we did get the new eye level increase going into season four. So gear looks to be going to be capping out at 522, which is the 483 equivalent. So I guess maybe you're going to get six more item level there. So it'll be 528 as the new max instead of 489. But
yeah,
so that'll be a little nice little quip, getting another 20 or so item level, 20, 25, 26 item level. And then they also did make something, they didn't outright say this, but they said all of these changes apply to all 8 of the Dragonflight dungeons, which people are basically inferring, I don't know if they officially said this, but inferring that essentially for season 4, the Mythic Plus pool will be the original 8 dungeons from Dragonflight.
I don't know if they've ever come out and said it, but I think it's probably like a really safe assumption.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's, you know, it sounds like we get our Mythic out of this. Not only are they doing the squish, we get our potential, a really good, I think, assumption to say our 8 dungeons for season 4 in terms of the Mythic Plus rotation, and a little bit of preview on the fact that we're getting another 30 item level, which is stupid. Actually, is it 40?
It's 40.
I can't do the math. 40. It's 40, which is just, I don't want to talk about it because that's a whole other can of worms in terms of power creep. But cool. I think that from my perspective, I don't know if you have anything else to say on the season 4 stuff or that the Mythic Plus loot stuff.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how this, like, because of they made some noise about world content and world content rewards as part of the War Within. I do think it's interesting how now this new system potentially opens up the range of eye level rewards they can give from world content without encroaching on group content. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see exactly how this all sort of starts to fit together. So, well, cool. Well, let's jump into the main topic we have today, which is hero talents.
Yeah. So
Blizzard, I mean, we're going to, again, Monk, you know, we like to focus on monks, but Blizzard did put out 12 hero talent trees on Thursday or Friday. I forget the specific day, but this week, two of them being monks, which to me surprised me. I mean, generally monk, I feel like, is one of the last classes that gets discussed.
Yeah.
So this is sort of a good thing for us. We did get two of the three. So to give you a brief overview, which ones we got Shadowpan Monk. And actually, sorry, this is a good point. I meant to pull this up about our predictions for the naming of these. What spec combinations they were. Hint, I'm terrible.
You were also trying to be a contrarian when you were doing it too.
That's true. So we got Shadowpan Monk, which is the Brewmaster and Windwalker spec combination, which you nailed. I thought it was going to be Mistweaver Windwalker. But Brewmaster Windwalker combination and Shadowpan Monk. And then we also got Conduit of the Celestials, which is Mistweaver and Windwalker. So we got to see both Windwalker sort of hero trees, with only Master of Harmony remaining now, which will be the Brewmaster Mistweaver combination. So I don't know where you want to start. I looked at both trees, read through both of them. I will say that Shadowpan, not having played much Windwalker or Brewmaster, don't have too much of an opinion other than it seems like you get a new mechanic within this.
Well, you know, story, but I'm not going to lie, I haven't read the Conduit of the Celestials one. Okay. If you do want to dive into the Shadowpan one, you mentioned the new mechanic, and I'll say, not yet.
Okay, fair enough.
So starting off right at the top of the Shadowpan tree, so this is the Brewmaster Windwalker tree. There is the initial kind of talent node, Overwhelming Flurry. Dealing damage equal to your maximum health generates a flurry charge. For each 400 energy you spend, unleash all flurry charges as flurry strikes, dealing physical damage per charge. And a lot of the rest of the tree is synergies with this ability, right? Like we have this thing that's a deterministic trigger by doing damage, that then there's a bunch of other stuff that it interacts with, and Brewmaster kind of loses out on every line of text in this Overwhelming Flurry is just like Brewmaster is significantly lower gain than Windwalker. We have more maximum HP. We do less damage because we're a tank, right? So like already off on a bad start, way fewer flurry charges than a Windwalker would theoretically get. Obviously they could have modifiers in here for the rate at which you gain them, but that's not how the talent is written, right? It's written based on your max health. Yeah, there's also a bunch of potentially like sketchy interactions there where like if you upgrade an item and it gives you a higher percentage gain of like health, then your damage goes up. That reduces your flurry charge gain rate. And if that's a strong enough effect, if there's enough effects tied to that, that could actually make item level upgrades downgrades, which is not something that Blizzard is a fan of. So this is like, I'm spending a lot of time talking about this. I haven't even talked about the fact that like Brewmaster spends energy at a lower rate than Windwalker, unless you're specifically playing the Blackout Combo Tiger Palm build. Like the Blackout Combo Tiger Palm build is the only one that is energy gated in raid. All the others, you waste energy at a hilarious rate. So you're actually like every angle of this is just like significantly worse for Brewmaster, unless you are playing what is granted the current meta single target raid build. In which case you're still losing on 2 out of 3 cases. Kind of awkward. So there's like, as a Brewmaster reading through this tree right now, anything that says flurry strikes or flurry charges is just kind of like not great.
Yeah.
However, we are going to operate for the rest of this. We're going to operate under the assumption that they're going to change this. I think there are too many problems with it for them to not change the trigger conditions on this.
Yeah. Just reading it quickly, just from my point of view. Yeah. It's weird that they have it they basically have a damage equal to your maximum health, right? Because like you said, like, you just end up generating less charges, which maybe that's what they want for Brewmaster.
Well, there's one more thing that I haven't really gotten into, and that's AoE.
Okay.
So you know how they do on like most effects now, they do this kind of like damage splitting thing in AoE where like if you hit five targets, you don't do five times damage. You do like, it's janky, complicated math, but it's like, they call it square root scaling. And it means that like at five targets, you're doing like double damage.
Right, yeah.
But then when you go to 10, you're not doing 10 times damage. You're doing like triple damage, maybe. Yeah. And so it keeps things a little bit more under control in AoE. And this completely ignores that as currently written.
Yeah.
Because in AoE, you know, your damage scales, and then that actually increases the number of flurry strikes you get. But then the flurry strikes probably feed back into this, right?
Yeah.
And so you start getting charges faster and faster, and it scales really, really, really hard in AoE.
Yeah.
And AoE is also a case for Brewmaster where that thing I said about energy doesn't really apply because of spinning crane kick.
Yeah, it changes every event, yeah.
So like in a raid build, when you're playing something that's not Blackout Combo Tiger Palm, you don't spend all of your energy, and that's just normal and fine. If you're playing Push the Advantage, you really don't spend all of your energy, and you just like waste a huge amount of it, and that's also like fine. Press the Advantage is just not that. That's kind of the point of the talent.
Exactly.
It makes your only real energy spender Keg Smash in single target, and that's just how it works. But in AoE, you still have Spinning Crane Kick, and so that spends your energy. And it's just like potentially, I don't know how they balance that, where you do like triple, quadruple, quintuple damage in large AoE of what you do in single target. Which does mean that you would get five times the value of everything that triggers off these talents, which we'll get into. We're not going to read literally every talent. There's a bunch of kind of, I will say, like looking through this tree, right? If we look through this tree, there's a lot of just kind of good stuff, passive power. And I think one of the things that you might notice from hero talent trees overall is that there's a lot of, they don't give you new buttons in these trees. They're being careful not to do that. I think a lot of classes have the kind of like button bloat problem right now, where they get so many buttons from the talent trees as they currently exist that you don't really like adding another ability to use is not very attractive. It's going to be something people don't want. So that I don't think you're going to see new talent abilities in these. The cases where they do give a new ability, it replaces an existing one. You see that on the Death Knight trees, for example. But yeah, a lot of passive power here that is actually pretty good, right? There's some stuff like armor penetration. Number's currently really low, but it is just a passive increase to your damage, right? Yeah. There's some stuff that currently is difficult, depending on implementation details, either completely impossible to trigger for Brewmaster or completely passive and just like a passive power gain. They have this controlled instincts talent. When you hit the same target five times within 2 seconds, you gain a stacking haste buff. And it gives up to 20% haste, which is like haste is not a great stat for Brewmaster, but 20% haste is a lot of haste.
That's true. Yeah.
People used to ask like, why do we take high tolerance? You know, back in Shadowlands, why do we take high tolerance? Haste is not good for Brewmaster. And it turns out that like, yeah, haste is not good for Brewmaster, but when you're given 10% haste, it's good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have stuff like Breath of Fire Dot, Rushing Jade Wind, whatever the passive talent that just procs extra damage in the class tree. I'm blanking what it's called. If all of those things count for this talent, then it's actually not too hard if you're keeping all of your plates spinning to trigger this talent with some reliability. You may not be able to maintain max stacks, but I don't think that's necessarily the expectation. If they don't, then this is virtually impossible to trigger. At the current rates, you get like I did the math. You get like 1.7 over like flurry strikes triggers per minute.
Uh-huh.
And each of those flurry triggers hits like 3 to 4 times. And so we have a 1 second GCD. So you tie that with 2 ability hits. And so you get 2% haste for 5 for like whatever the duration is. I didn't actually put a duration on this, but whatever the duration is, 1.7 times per minute. And so like, there's a huge variance in how good this could be depending on, the actual implementation details of it. Right. And what they end up doing with overwhelming flurry, which again, like, I don't think it's going to stay that way, but as it is, you know, not super good, but there are a bunch of things like predictive training as it stands right now is this is a choice node. One of the choices, predictive training, when you dodge or parry an attack, reduce damage taken by 10% for the next 6 seconds. Brewmaster's built around dodging. You can trigger this all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. It's almost just like 100% uptime, 10% reduced damage taken, which is pretty good. That's pretty good. And then like the other choice in the node is almost just like, this is like the Windwalker choice. And it's when you become injured, summon a Whirling Steel, increasing your parry chance and avoidance by 15% for 6 seconds. And like there's cases you might take this as Brewmaster, for example. Many AoE kind of frontal tank busters get damage reduction from avoidance. So that 15% avoidance might be worth more than the constant like 10% damage reduction in those cases. Like imagine an Argus kind of scenario where it's just this huge tank buster that's also a frontal. And there's specifically towards the end of the tree, there's a couple of talents. Efficient training, energy spenders deal an additional 15% damage. That includes Tiger Palm, hint, hint. And every 50 energy spent reduces the cooldown of Storm, Earth, and Fire, Serenity, and Weapons of Order by 1 second. And then we have the Vigilant Watch talent. Blackout Kick deals an additional 20% critical damage and increases the damage of your next set of Flurry Strikes by 10%. And I'm calling these out specifically because they buff the Blackout combo Tiger Palm build to maybe not a greater extent. Like every build should be pushing Blackout Kick on cooldown for Brewmaster. Like you should be pushing that ability every 4 seconds, no matter what build you're playing. It's just a really good ability. But the efficient training one, like again, the whole energy spending thing in Mythic Plus, you spend a lot more energy across all builds. So you're just going to get even more weapons of order. And this also means you get more spinning crane kick damage. That's cool. But in raid, it basically means blackout combo Tiger Palm. Your Tiger Palm is now 15% better, and also you get weapons of order more often, and that benefit is greater for the blackout combo build than for other builds.
Gotcha.
As again, like as things are right now for Brewmaster.
Yeah, the way we're reading it, basically, yeah.
And then we get to the capstone talent. Wisdom of the Wall. And there's been a lot of questions about this because Mists of Pandaria is actually a long time ago. I don't know. I don't know that people realize how long ago it was. And, you know, so the lore here, the Shadowpan are the guardians of the Great Wall in Mists of Pandaria.
Yep.
In Pandaria, this wall divides the area that the
Klaxi, the Dread Wastes.
Yeah, the Dread Wastes from the rest of Pandaria. So the Wisdom of the Wall talent refers to that. It's not like the wisdom of being a brick wall.
Yeah.
Although there are times at which that is also applicable to Brewmaster.
And Windwalkers.
So it says every 10 flurry strikes become infused with a Wisdom of the Wall for 20 seconds. Now, I want to reiterate again, at current rates, you get less than one of these per minute as Brewmaster. That's probably not intended, and we're going to assume that's not how it's going to work. The way that this is written is also unclear as to whether you get every benefit of Wisdom of the Wall at the same time, which I'm going to read them, would be pretty good, or if you get one of them at random, which would be really bad unless you're getting a lot more of these than one per like 1.2 minutes.
Yeah.
So the buffs that you get are your critical strikes deal an additional 30% damage. Pretty good. Your mastery's effect is increased by 25%. My understanding is that's a lot better for Windwalker than it is for Brewmaster, but you know, I mean, it's damage buff. It increases the amount of dodge we would get. There were some questions about what 25% increased effect means for the dodge on mastery in particular. And the way that we're reading this right now, again, we'll just have to test it when we can, is that it will basically like be a 25% multiplier on your mastery rating. So you'll get more mastery per point than you currently do while you have this buff.
It's pretty good, depending on how often it procs. I mean, for Brewmaster, it seems like right now not great, but it might make mastery more usable or a more desired stat. So,
well, the next effect,
okay,
versatility now also increases your dodge and critical strike chance by 25% of its effect. And Flurry Strikes now deal additional shadow damage to all uncontrolled enemies within 6 yards. So my read is that actually you're, I don't know. It's interesting that all of these effects give you, like, they affect different stats in the case of, or Flurry Strikes in the case of the last one. It almost reads like it's supposed to give you all of them at once. That makes it kind of depends on their goal for this, right? Is it something that you trigger periodically and you like, oh yeah, I'm really powerful now for this 20-second window? And in that case, I think you get all of them. But if it's supposed to be like this, like, oh, you're constantly triggering Flurry Strikes, and so you have just like these Wisdom of the Wall buffs, and maybe they occasionally overlap, but you just have like one of them up all of the time kind of deal, then that could lean more towards having one of these effects every time you trigger it.
Yeah, that probably. I mean, they seem each line item seems really strong. So to get all of them at once seems
a little much,
right? But
right, it would also. I kind of prefer the idea of it being kind of this constant buff where you have some of them all the time, rather than all of them some of the time, because that does some weird things, especially with the Weapons of Order cooldown reduction.
Yeah.
And also for Windwalker, Storm, Earth, and Fire / Serenity cooldown reduction, where you want, if you're getting all of these at once for a 20-second window, that's now your burst window. You want to push all of your cooldowns during that window. An important thing to note, like, they whitelisted all cooldowns that give damage buffs this expansion. Stat buffs ignore that. So if you're getting critical strikes, deal an additional 30% damage. That one specifically might be whitelisted too. But versatility increasing your critical strike chance, that's a prime time to hit trinkets, you know? So there's all these things that you're going to want to fit into this window. If it's a 20-second window every, you know, however often you trigger 10 flurry strikes.
Yeah.
So we'll see. There's a lot of open questions.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine, yeah.
I kind of, my impression of this tree overall, there's a lot of passive power. There's a lot of potential, like, plate spinning where you might want to, like, track your flurry strike progression to prep for a Wisdom of the Wall window kind of deal that could add some gameplay. But there's a lot that's contingent on this overwhelming flurry ability. And I'm going to give my take on why they did this ability the way they did. Specifically the max HP bit. It's because of Touch of Death. I think it's 100% because of Touch of Death, which gives, like, Windwalkers have cared about max HP as a stat because of Touch of Death, Touch of Karma, years and years and years. And the, like, naive kind of take is like, okay, well, we have that. And obviously Brewmasters care about it too, because they're tanks. To some degree, you do care about it, even if it's not something you pursue.
Right.
And I don't think they really thought through the implications of it. I think it's just like, well, you know, it kind of lines up. Like, it reads like a touch of death kind of thing where you want max HP, except it's the opposite of that. You want to drop max HP for this.
Yeah, to generate more. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. There's going to be, I think that this one, most of the tree is totally fine if this initial overwhelming flurry ability gets changed.
Gotcha.
I think the rest of the tree is like, numbers obviously is subject to change, but yeah, I think it's pretty functional as long as overwhelming flurry behaves in a sensible way for Brewmaster.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. I mean, it sounds like they didn't miss the mark, right, with the tree.
Yeah.
Seems like it's that. A couple of, I mean, I don't think any tree coming
this is
out,
very fixable.
Yeah, like it's not like they're, yeah, it's not like the disc tree where they're leaning to PI and you're like, what the heck are you doing, right?
There's some kind of cool stuff here, especially like, okay, one of the things that I'm kind of excited about for these trees in general, and I think this is, the Death Knight cases are really easy examples of it, is they like turn your core abilities into other abilities for a period of time. And when they do that in game, they always give those things different animations. Right.
Yeah.
And like we saw the warrior animations at BlizzCon, right, where they were like lightning warriors, and that was really cool. So there's a potentially like really cool thing. People love the, like when you had the Azurite trait in BFA that gave you like multiple rising sun kicks, and so you just do like the triple backflip and, you know, somebody's health disappear. Like, people love that. That's so cool. And so if Flurry Strikes comes with an animation like that, I think it'll be a big hit as long as they fix some of the like underlying issues with it.
That's fair. So you're all about it looking good versus its functionality.
I mean, I am very much like the functionality needs to be there.
Yeah. Right?
But yeah. I think that there's a lot that's just like, the Shadow Pantry is supposed to be like the mixed martial arts kind of like fantasy. And, you know, this can lean into it by giving you more punches and kicks and just like a ton of animations. Like if your Flurry Strike trigger looks like a sped up Fist of Fury, it doesn't require you to sit there and channel for 4.5 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's cool. I mean, it sounds like at least tree-wise, at least it's on a trajectory. It's that this initial cut isn't too far off and probably just needs a little bit of polish in terms of, like you mentioned, like
polish
the initial...
and of course numbers tuning, and then some probably recontextualization when we see the alpha and we see what other changes are coming to the monk class. Yeah. And before we get into the Conduit of the Celestials tree for Windwalker and Mistweaver, do you want to talk about the other Mistweaver update just to kind of give people some context?
Yeah, so let me talk about the
initial
ability.
Which one do you want to do it?
I'll let me talk the initial ability first, because that's actually what triggered the clarification. So
okay.
Within the tree, within the Mistweaver Windwalker tree, so within Celestial or Conduit of the Celestials, the initial ability, it's actually a brand new ability you get, is called Celestial Conduit, which essentially is a 4-second channel, it seems like, or some. I don't know if they actually put in the tooltip how long the channel is, but it seems about 4 seconds, where you essentially channel damage and healing onto enemies and allies within 20 yards of yourself. And then the healing and damage is increased the more enemies you hit, and you can move around while channeling this, but you can't cast any other abilities other than defensives, utility, or movement spells. So like you can't start a channel this ability and then like start healing, or start a channel this ability and start doing damage, right?
Right.
And so that's the initial opening ability, which many people, when we first saw this, were like, man, another just AoE, like basically player-based AoE ability for Mistweaver, which is like, we have this one, we have, you know, Refreshing Jade Wind, we have Essence Fawn, we have all these other abilities that sort of do a similar thing of like AoE healing around you, untargeted AoE healing around you, basically.
Yeah.
So about probably about 20-30 minutes after the trees went live, we got a blue post related to this. So the rest of the tree is actually really, I think it's solid, but the blue post basically was a clarification around Essence Font as a spell. And we got the best news, like this is bigger than the talent trees for me. We got the news essentially that Blizzard stated that they're going to make updates to the Mistweaver Monk talent trees, and by doing that, or as they do this, they're planning to remove Essence Font from the talent tree. along with other changes, which I find absolutely great.
Does this mean you're back on this week?
I have no idea. Like at this point, War Within, I may be back to healing just based off this. Cause I've definitely said this on the podcast and I've said this elsewhere. If you've been in Discord or whatever, talk to me at all about Mistweaver. Essence Fog to me is the worst spell we've ever had. Ever since the rework, it was awful in its original its original version, because it was a 3.5 second channel that you couldn't move while you're channeling it, and it ate all your mana at the moment you hit the button. So if you moved halfway through, you basically wasted it. It cost a ton of mana. It was extremely powerful as an ability, but that was the problem, is that like basically Monk for most of Legion and even, you know, all the way through Shadowlands was centered around Essence Font as a spell. The other problem with Essence Font, it was deeply tied to our mastery. So to change our mastery, you'd have to change Essence Font. And as a core spell, Blizzard really never took the dive in sort of reworking everything. So in my mind, this is huge because we get rid of arguably one of the worst spells ever. One of our prettiest spells, I'll say. So that's the other thing. It looked really nice. Just awful in terms of the power it granted. And it sort of now potentially leaves the door open for a mastery rework. They didn't say this in anything, right? This wasn't a Blizzard thing. But in my mind, by them making the decision to remove Essence Font, it does basically give them an easier way to change our mastery, because you don't have that interaction anymore.
Right. Like your mastery, just from memory, it's like when you heal, you have a chance to heal an additional amount. And then that chance is increased for Essence Font.
No. It's not a chance. So basically any direct heal automatically triggers mastery.
Okay.
But if you heal somebody with the Essence Font hot on them, it triggers mastery twice.
I see. Okay.
So, and the mastery is literally just an additional heal, additional single target heal on top of what you're doing.
Gotcha.
And then I guess in the new world or in the current Invoke Chi Ji, the healing Invoke Chi Ji does is actually mastery healing. So increasing your mastery makes Chi Ji do more healing. So, but in any event, massive. So coming back to the talent trees, although everyone's excited Essence Font is removed, and I'll be honest with you, like some people, it's funny, we have a couple people in Discord as these sort of broke that were a little upset about the removal of the spell. I don't know why. It's stupid. It's just unfun to hit. It's just a dumb button. Like imagine going back to Shadowlands where you basically topped HPS in any raid by hitting three spells, Refresh and Jade Wind, Essence Font, and Fallen Order. And you didn't even raid frames. You just hit those over and over again and you did a bunch of healing. Anyway. So they're essentially what it looks like replacing Essence Font with this Celestial Conduit ability. And then a bunch of other talents around it that I find that are interesting, at least in terms of the potential impacts to playstyle coming up. Maybe I'll pause and just take this question from chat, because it's actually a really good question. It's like, do we know for sure if EF is gone? Was the question in chat. And it seems like it is. Like I would imagine that them removing it from the talent tree essentially is removing it from the class. It would be weird if they would just move it to baseline, particularly with the fact that you have like I don't think there's many baseline abilities, and I think all of the baseline abilities are actually class wide, right?
There are very few baseline abilities for that are spec locked.
Yeah.
That are not part of the talent tree.
Yeah.
I cannot think of any off the top of my head. I think that the way that this is written, they kind of could have that gotcha of like leaving it in the base tree. But if it's taken out of the talent tree, I can't imagine them like being like, oh, we just meant we were moving it to baseline and everything else about the talent tree remains the same, and all the nodes that said, you know, Essence Font still say Essence Font. That seems like it would be worse than doing nothing.
Yeah, and it also would mean that if it removed from the tree, you'd get it at level one, right? Like that's
like core abilities you unlock over time.
Oh, I haven't leveled in forever. I thought you just unlocked those through the talent tree. My fault. Okay, dumb then. But yeah, I mean, I would imagine it gets removed and gets replaced with some other stuff. Potentially, like as we go through the rest of the trees, right? Like the rest of the tree. There are a lot of it is, I think, similar to Brewmaster and Windwalker. There's a lot of like just passive, I'll say, healing increases. A couple of interesting ones just to sort of touch on it. There's a choice node around Refreshing Jadewind very early. One's called Restore Balance. The other is Yulon's Knowledge. Essentially, restore balance. Basically, you gain as a Mistweaver refreshing Jade Wind while either of your evokes are active. And then also Windwalker gains rushing Jade Wind whenever his wind is active. So it seems like a kind of just a passive AoE damage and healing that's triggered. The choice note there, the different choice there is basically that for Mistweaver, your refreshing Jade Wind now lasts an additional 10 seconds. So it's a longer ability with the single button press. And then Windwalker, you can have multiple, your duration is increased by 4 seconds, but you can have multiple uses overlaps. So you basically have stacks of rushing Jade Wind active.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. The whole right side of the tree is like very much centered on like refreshing / rushing Jade Wind being there. So it seems like that maybe maybe we get a buff to that spell. Like we, as Mistweavers, we haven't really played it in forever.
Yeah. And Windwalker's not really used it in a long time either, from what I know. Like it had like niche uses in Shadowlands where there were like specific cases where it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was very uncommon.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see if that sort of makes a comeback in terms of like a spell we now hit or we take, or potentially like because we assume Essence Fond being removed, there's now a hole in the talent tree at that point. Does refreshing Jade Wind fill it, or does a different spell, like does Shaylun come down off of the top level of the tree into that, and now yeah. Shaylun becomes a thing? Because there's a couple other interesting talents that sort of impact Shaylun too. One around just like by consuming a high amount of stacks, so basically 8 or more stacks, you then trigger a cooldown reduction across Renewing Mist, Rising Sun Kick, Life Cocoon, and Thunder Focus D for 8 seconds. Since you get it's 100% increase in cooldown reduction, which means, you know, basically half time off all of your cooldowns, which is the first time we see cooldown reduction on Renewing Mist in a while.
Yeah.
And like Thunder Focus T to having, well, I guess we have now with Font of Life. So again, with the removal of Essence Font, you're more than likely removing Font of Life, which did offer cooldown reduction for Revival. And there was another talent that also offered it for Thunder Focus T. I can't think of off the top of my head. So this is where maybe they're moving the cooldown reduction part of the talents from Essence Font being removed into this. There is one just weird talent, I'll say, that we don't 100% know how it's worked. It's on the right-hand side. It's a choice node. It's called Inner Compass. Basically, it reads, you switch between alignments after an August Celestial assists you, increasing the corresponding secondary stat by 3%. And so basically, depending on what stance you're in, you gain 3% more secondary stats. I think they never clarified, and I don't think we have clarified this, about how you actually cycle through these stances. So the idea being is that based on the stance you're in, probably by triggering Celestial Conduit, you'll gain a secondary stat for some duration, right? They don't even put a duration in the tooltip, which is very
cool. I kind of read it as just like, it's just permanent and you're always in one of the stances, and it's just like, which stance are you in? You just cycle through them, right? Like you have this Strength of the Black Ox, one. Oh, wait, which was the one that I was reading? It literally said, So the Strength of the Black Ox, after Zuin assists you, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like an August Celestial assisting you. So there's stuff like the Courage of the White Tiger talent. Tiger Palm has a 15% chance to cause Zuin to claw your target for physical damage, mm-hmm. healing a nearby ally for 200% of the damage done. And so that's like, I think that counts as like Zuin assisting you.
Yeah, this is one we'll have to play around with actually seeing in game, because there's not a bunch around how this specifically triggers. And also the way that it reads is like you're in a stance. So like, I don't know if like, again, we haven't had stances since WoD, right? At least in the Mistweaver side, right? So
yeah,
I'm wondering what exactly the trigger point is there. And it's a choice node. So like there's, I don't know.
Yeah, and the other choice is tied to Jade Fire Stump, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and the capstone is funny because it's so weird that this is the game. I don't know. It's called Unity Within, but basically all it is it just increases the duration of your Celestial Conduit. Like you basically cast a second one, so whatever the current duration is, you get an additional cast of it automatically. Plus all plus the all the Celestials sort of assist you at 200% effectiveness, which is just, when they say all Celestials, they mean now all of them are now active when you're casting this alignment, and it's 20 more effective, plus it's double duration. Or it's like you need to do within a different, like a second button press for it. So it's, there's just not a lot of like good data around it about how it works. But yeah. I think a lot of this, similar to probably Brewmaster Windwalker 1, is like we need to sit down and actually play through it, because
yeah,
like we're just inferring what the how these will interact. And I think there's a lot of unknowns in terms of, like, again, Blizzard writing really great tooltips for everything. There's just a lot of unknowns in how actually this is going to work together.
Yeah. So. There's one thing I will comment on this capstone node. They have the failsafe little text at the end. Unity within is automatically cast when Celestial Conduit ends, if not used before expiration. And that's just like a nice little quality of life thing, especially when you're like learning the spec and maybe overwhelmed with all of the things. Mm-hmm. To just make sure that you don't literally lose the whole value of the button by not pushing it a second time when you're, you know, figuring stuff out. Just a nice little extra touch.
Yeah, and I mean, depending on how it plays out, maybe that's just the default way you play it. You hit the ability once, and then when it runs out, you just gain a second cast of it. So, although that is a weird thing, you'd be channeling that potentially if I'm inferring the tooltip right, 8 seconds, right? 4+4. So,
yeah.
Do you really need an 8-second channel of this ability?
It could actually not extend the duration of it and just like summon extra Celestials. Like,
that is true too. It's just weird that that failsafe text is like, cast it again if not used. So it's just like, to me, that's just a casting Celestial or Celestial Conduit a second time. So but we'll see. I mean, I think like ultimately we get a new ability to play around, which is really cool. This tree does lean heavily into, in general, we didn't talk about every talent, but pretty much every talent sort of leans into that melee Mistweaver type playstyle.
Yep. There's a lot of Tiger Palm in this tree.
Yeah, a lot of Tiger Palm, a lot of procs off Tiger Palm. There's some, you know, Rising Sun Kick stuff here and there too. So, I mean, I think, you know, this one potentially ends up being our sort of Mythic Plus thing. I think the other thing too is with Celestial Conduit, only healing 5 injured allies within 20 yards, you're essentially playing a much like closer group game, which lends itself more to Mythic Plus. So we'll see ultimately how this works, but this might be one of those ones where, like, you know, this is our Mythic Plus hero tree plus like rot damagey fight, like where we have to keep on melee, like were those two bosses in Sepulchre at the end, not Rigelon, but the other side, the Lords of Dread.
Lords of Dread, yeah.
Yeah, like play this for like a Lords of Dread type fight where super stacked during high damage period.
Yeah. So this is one of the only trees that actually gives a new full ability as well.
Yeah.
And it's a 90-second cooldown. So there's a minute and a half cooldown. And like you said, it's kind of just Essence Font, right? Like it's Essence
Very
Font.
Very similar.
That also does damage. Mm-hmm. And also doesn't hit every person in the raid. It's not 18 bolts, it's, you know, however many bolts on 5 players.
Yeah. Yeah, so. That's the other thing we don't know, like how it says it just radiates the damage and healing. So is it every second? Is it every half second? Like what's the timing? So yeah, it'll be interesting to see once we get to play with this one. It's a new ability. So
maybe it's maybe they looked at the Windwalkers, all the Windwalkers using the Dathia transformation trinket, and we're like, well, they clearly love that. Exactly. We'll fix the one problem with it where they root themselves in the bad thing and then let them do their thing.
Exactly. So no, it's a solid at least first tree. I don't see many people not at least not being happy with it, right? It doesn't seem they missed the mark too much. There does seem to be a couple of just like, I'll say, we'll call them like dead talents, where it's just like you do more healing. Like the temple training one is just like 10% more healing. So,
right.
So it's not, there's a bit of a lull there, but I think all of them are, I mean, it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting. They're leaning back into refreshing Jadwin. We'll see what that does. And the fact that, again, they've mentioned like Essence font going away. And I'd like to see what the talent tree looks like without that there. Because it's going to be at least a couple of nodes that they'll have to fix or change. So
I wonder if that means that those nodes will be refocused onto rushing Jadewind or refreshing Jadewind rather.
Yeah. I mean, they could do that. I mean, they could move all the, yeah, they could. I mean, I would actually, that probably makes better sense than Shaylun's, but it's weird that they have a talent built around specifically casting Shaylun's and in your hero tree that like, you'd almost want to say they want to force you to pick that up.
Essence font's like one of the first abilities in the Mistweaver tree right now, right?
It's second row, right in the middle. So yeah. You have to take it basically.
Yeah. So. I wonder if they move Shaylun's gift there.
Yeah. That's what I would be leaning into. But again, this is again assuming that Essence font totally goes away and they're doing a larger rework with the tree.
Yeah.
It definitely seems like there's gonna be hero talent's cool. The removal of Essence Font, I think, is the bigger news about this. Just because it, number one, hate the spell, that's part of it. But then number two is like, okay, now they have a little bit of freedom to like reorganize the tree, the Mistweaver tree. So we'll see what it looks like. Yeah, maybe I'm not going to be a hunter for long. Maybe it'll be healing here.
Play DPS only for season four. Go back to tank immediately after, or healer in your case.
Yeah, that might be the case, dude. Every time I think I'm out, man, they pull me back in, dude. It's just so awful. I hate it. I hate it. So, I'm super excited for this. And like I said, this is the Mistweaver Windwalker one, so it's very much focused, I think, on that. Like I mentioned, that like being in melee type healer that Mistweaver is. I'm interested to see how they take the Brewmaster Mistweaver one.
That's the one that we're still missing. That is going to be the most fun to talk about on this show.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that one because I think just looking at how they did Windwalker and Brewmaster, I'm wondering if this pushes Monk into a lot more like, I'll say like absorb type healing, which I know isn't something like Brewmaster type does, but like I think maybe that might be the push
got
of like
a lot of absorbs.
That's what I'm saying. Like guard used to be a thing, and like you know,
I mean, we got Celestial Brew now replacing that. That isn't just a gigantic absorb.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking is like maybe that's that, and it may play too more into Mistweaver not being in melee, which again leads it to more of a casting type style. So
interesting.
We'll see how they take the Brewmaster side of things. But the Windwalker one, I think, is, or this kind of the Celestials, I think is cool. I'm excited. And like I said, super excited. The Essence font looks to be going. Pretty spelled, awful, like in-game gameplay use. Oh, dude, just sitting there and channeling for 2.5 seconds. Just kill me now. I just, to be fair, every time somebody mentions Essence font to me and they're like, oh, I love this spell, I'm like, play that on whatever the courtyard boss is on Nighthold. Which was the boss where like she had an arcane phase and she'd drop orbs every couple seconds and you'd have to move with the highest healing moment of that entire fight. And imagine being a monk where like your Vivify hit two players and your Essence font was a 3 second channel. You did zero healing there. You basically you three healed that section if you had a Mistweaver. So in any event, I'm done ranting about that stupid ass spell.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Or I'm going so as it actually would be.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the other final point that I'll sort of quit on my rant is like, this is literally the end of potentially Legion Mistweaver rework. Like the killing of this spell is like, this is the last major holdover, I'll say. Like Shaylun's gift was a part of the
that was your artifact ability.
Was it part of the artifact ability? But they've changed that enough at this point that like
it's so different
worked
from
it
what
in.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah, worked it in that I'm fine with it. Plus that was not an egregious ability, right?
Yeah, it's just a spell that heals people. It's not a
Now they've got the whole buff system incorporated with it, so I think it's a lot more fun to use. But Essence Font, I think, is the last remnant of that rework that whoever it was from Blizzard killed
for. I did not play Monk during WoD. Is this actually, like, if they remove Essence Font, is it actually back to the same set of abilities as there was in WoD? Has it really come? Oh, okay.
No, it won't come. Like, I think there is still enough difference. It, like, because like a lot of abilities are just different, right? But I think So I don't think we'll like removing Essence Font doesn't immediately give us we're back to WoD type style of gameplay. But I think what it does do is it just sort of removes like that last like overhanging thing of like this was from Legion. Like we have this mastery requirement now. We have this Essence Font as ability. So taking it out and being able to move more of the power of the spec away from Essence Font into other things, I think is awesome. Which they've done, I mean, to be fair, they've done already. Like, you rarely cast Essence Fawn ever, like in a raid or Mythic Plus. Like, I know I use it in Mythic Plus when I'm bored and like I'm running from pack to pack and people take a little bit of damage, I'll hit it. But
I can't think
of the last time I cast it.
But that's also like, just to reiterate, you couldn't cast it while moving for a lot of Legion.
Was it
for all of Legion? Was that the BFA change?
It was a BFA change because you had Thunder Focus T Essence Fawn, which allowed you to cast while moving, and that was changed, God. I believe. It was either a late Legion patch or like BFA. Yeah.
That area kind of blurs together because of like BFA Alpha and everything.
Exactly. Yeah, I played a lot of Alpha, so.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that is going to be it for our show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And hope that like you have, I don't know, new talent trees are interesting or fun. If you want to chat about the talent trees, best place to do that is to join the Discord. And of course, you can support this show and all the other work that we do over at the Pika Serenity, over at our Patreon at patreon.com/PikaSerenity. But yeah, I think that is going to be it for our show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Maybe with the third hero tree.